So what is mindfulness? Venerable Geshe defines mindfulness. He says, the definition of mindfulness is a mental factor that functions not to forget the object realized by the primary mind. Meditation is, mindfulness is the life force of Dharma practice. So what does that mean? So basically what that means is that mindfulness is a gripping function of the mind. It's the mind's ability to choose what it wants to focus on and focus on that and stay focused on that. It's a gripping function of the mind. And like our physical grip, then perhaps initially when we first start to meditate, like our hands when we're first born, the grip isn't very strong. But if we exercise it, it will get stronger and stronger and stronger until that grip is unbreakable. So so if we want to develop our mindfulness, our gripping function of the mind, then it's very important that we train, we exercise. We like meditation from one point of view, it's work. We are giving our mind a job to do. We're telling our minds, focus on this, not in a heavy way, not in a sort of strict way, not in a pressure inducing way, but there's a very definite thing that we're trying to do. You know, it's very important that we're clear when we meditate, this is what I'm trying to do. If we're not sure what are we trying to do, then how will our meditation succeed? So we're trying to, in the context of the simple breathing meditation, focus our attention on the breath. Ideally at one point, and keep it there. That's giving our mind a job to do, giving our mindfulness a job to do. Now, it may be helpful that to share a sort of analogy. A lot of the games that parents play with their children are developmental games, either designed or intended to help the baby grow, develop physically or develop mentally. So for example, maybe like the parent picks up a ball, demonstrates to the baby, picking up a ball, rolls the ball to the baby. Baby says, oh, I get the point of this. I'm supposed to mimic, you know, monkey see, monkey do. They try to pick up the ball. Obviously, at the beginning, they have very weak grip. And so the ball just sort of slips out of their fingers. What does the parent do at that point? Well, what the parent hopefully doesn't do is go, oh, that's pathetic. That is the worst effort at picking up a ball I've ever seen. You are rubbish at picking up balls. Carry on like that and you'll never be able to. Like, hopefully the parent doesn't do that. And hopefully this isn't triggering any traumatic memories for you. But what the parent does, presumably, I'd imagine, is encourage the baby. It's like, oh, so close. Rolls the ball back. Have another go. So similarly, and there are many points to this analogy, but similarly, when we're meditating, one of our big dangers, one of the unfortunate things that many of us carry into our meditation is this sort of negative self-talk, this self-critical mind. So maybe we sit down, we've decided we're going to meditate. Wonderful, fantastic, well done you, brilliant decision. We sit down to meditate and then this inner voice says, really, really? You're not going to be any good at this. You're going to be rubbish at this. And then, of course, there's distractions, various thoughts. And we're like, oh, see, told you. Distracted again. You're rubbish at this. And obviously what comes from that is we lose all of our enthusiasm for that. You know, like the baby doesn't understand the words, but they feel the tone. And immediately, I don't want to play this game. Whereas if the parent is encouraging, you know, the way to encourage the baby, it's not rocket science, it's to encourage the baby. The parent's like, oh, so close. The baby's, oh, give me another go. Tries again. And the parents, whenever the baby has some modicum of success, they're like, oh, brilliant. And they bring in the other siblings and the baby's excited. Look, I'm picking up a ball. And that's how we encourage the baby. And so that's also how we encourage ourselves. So it's important to understand these kind of simple things. Also, now, how many times does the baby try to flex and grip its fingers on the ball or other things before it's able to actually successfully grip and hold on? Well, perhaps many, many, many times. Are any of those times wasted? None of those efforts are wasted, because all of them are an integral part of developing the muscle and the dexterity that's required for that action. And in the same way, this is important to understand for our meditation, because maybe for a while, it seems like all we're doing is sitting, focusing on the breath, and getting distracted. Sitting, focus on the breath, getting distracted, focus on the breath, distracted, focus on the breath, distracted. Maybe we get to the end of 10, 15 minutes of doing that. I just spent 10, 15 minutes just being distracted. Seems like a waste of time to me, really. I don't think I did anything useful there, which is completely untrue. Like every time we focus, we are strengthening that gripping muscle that is mindfulness. We're getting better at being able to hold our object, not forgetting the object. You know, as it says in the definition of mindfulness, it doesn't mean, like, for example, like if we were to meditate on Buddha, visualize Buddha, it doesn't mean we suddenly forget, well, what's a Buddha? What's a Buddha then? It doesn't mean that. It means we lose focus. So like we're focusing on the breath and then we lose focus. We lose that grip on the breath. No, and obviously in the most extreme senses, we can forget that we're meditating altogether and we're just completely zone out. But mostly it means we're focusing on the breath or on whatever the object of our meditation was. And then some thought came up and we followed that thought. And now we're not holding the breath anymore. That's not what we're concentrating or focusing our mind on. So it's helpful to understand the mechanism. Every time we grip, we're getting slightly stronger, incrementally improving. And so even if many sessions go by where for the 10 or 15 minutes of our meditation, it seems like focus, distracted, we haven't wasted our time. Each effort to focus the mind is an integral part of our journey to this incredible strength of mind, where we can choose what we focus on, choose what we're not going to pay attention to, which is obviously so valuable. Now we think, how much time have I spent with thoughts that have been so damaging to me? Thoughts in my mind where it's even like I don't want to think these things, but we haven't had the power to let go of those thoughts. And other thoughts, you know, maybe we have moments from our own side, or maybe someone else sort of inspires us to have a confidence in who we are and a confidence in what we can achieve, and or you know, there's a sort of epiphany and a surge of love and compassion or whatever it might be. I mean, this is how I want to be always. Like, I always want to be in this space, and yet we can't hold on to it, and it slips away, becomes like a memory, and even that sort of so faded that we're almost not related to it anymore. How wonderful if we could hold on to those and accumulate and aggregate and develop those so it's not a fleeting experience, but a deeper and deeper lasting state of being. That's where the mindfulness and eventually the concentration is leading us to.